Meanwhile, this week, it's been record-breaking people power trying to date the universe. Remember our own Brian Schmidt, who got his Nobel Prize for showing how the expanding universe is going so fast? He used a supernova, an exploding star, as a guide. And that's what you did too this week, as Jonathan Webb reports from Siding Spring Mountain.
An hour and a half, an hour and 45 minutes ago, you guys launched a citizen science project live on TV. Mm-hmm. By the end of the show, you had how many images analysed?
We had 180,000 clicks by about 25 past nine, which is about half an hour after it was launched. It's now an hour after launch, and we have 530,000 classifications.
Not that long ago, we were doing more than 10,000 a minute, so that's the sheer brain power being directed. This is a likely supernovae found in the data that we didn't know about an hour and a half ago. So this is the reference galaxy image here. Here's the new one, but the subtractable one.
Astronomers Professor Chris Lintott and Dr. Becky Smethurst. They're from Zooniverse, the citizen science platform that's partnered up with the ANU and the ABC to search for new supernovae, exploding stars. These dying stars come in lots of different types, and they're fascinating objects for astronomers. To catch them, you need before and after images of the same patch of the sky. If you can spot a faraway galaxy and the second image includes an extra pinprick of bright new light, that's a stellar explosion, or at least it might be. The analysis can be tricky, and these astronomers have asked for help from the public in comparing thousands of those before and after images. Computer software has done some of the work, but computers can only do so much.
They do a lot of the grunt work beforehand, picking out and subtracting these images to say that something has changed here. But the thing that the computer can't do is recognize whether it's actually something that we care about. So we're really looking for supernova. They're real objects, so they'll appear as star-like. They're going to look spread out on the sky, whereas things like cosmic rays, which hit the Earth's atmosphere and are going to hit the detector, they're going to look like one tiny square pixel has been hit. And so the computer's going to flag that as something's changed here in this image, but a human can look at that and go, that's clearly not real. And also sometimes you get some weird bad subtractions where we've taken the most recent image we have off the library image and something's clearly gone wrong there with that pipeline. And the computer's like, yeah, something's changed. And you eyeball it and you go, what a mess. That's clearly not real. And so this is where we need the humans to pick out what looks right and what doesn't look right.
How many were you hoping you might get? And now that you know that you've been racking up 10,000 data points a minute, there'll be ups and downs, obviously, but how many do you think you might get if you're lucky by the end of this couple of days period that we're kicking it off
with? I'm not going to tell you. What I do know is with this many volunteers, if they're there, we'll find them. The rest of that's up to the universe and what's called cosmic variance, right? How many supernovae were there in these galaxies whose light happened to reach us in the last couple of weeks? A handful would be nice.
Now, partway through Tuesday night, there are some candidates, some possible brand new supernovae emerging in the data, and that means putting more telescopes into action.
This looks pretty star-like, that looks pretty genuine, and because of the brightness, we can guess what type of supernova it is, but that's the bit we have to check. To understand what this really is, we now have to go and get a telescope on it and take a spectrum.
And what telescope is that likely to be?
Well, we'll start with the 2.3 metre. Our friends, Brad Tucker and co from ANU, have remote access, so they will right now be turning that telescope to look at this.
Yeah, right. And that's here on site, that one, right?
Yeah, so it's one of the ones just up the hill. It's a big square thing. It's not the prettiest of telescopes, but if it gets us that spectra that tells us that that's the kind of supernova we're looking for, we're going to be very, very happy indeed.
How much sleep's there going to be?
Minimal sleep. But that's good. I will sacrifice sleep in the name of science.
That looks kind of interesting as a fainter one, maybe.
Mm, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so this is the next 4 hours of staring at black and white images and going, maybe.
Tapping away on the keyboard already.
Indeed.
At 9:30 in the morning.
Morning.
After not quite enough sleep, Chris.
Yeah.
What's the news?
Near enough sleep, but very, very exciting. So by about the end of our chat yesterday, we had 3 or 4 candidates that looked promising. But with these things, you need to follow them up. You need to get spectra, which is the confirmation that A, what you're seeing is at the same distance as the galaxy, so it's a real supernova, and B, what type of supernova it is. So we followed 3 up last night. We may have found two, and both of these were found by volunteers. We need to get the names of the volunteers so I can email them and let them know.
In particular, a couple of these candidates are already looking like they might be a special type of supernova, a type 1A supernova. And that means that as well as chalking up some new exploding stars in the astronomical record, the team can set about doing a special and profound kind of a calculation.
It gives you a distance. So that's the first measurement. We also know it was in this galaxy from the spectrum. So we have what's called a redshift. So that tells you how much the light has been stretched by the expansion of space. So I've now got two measurements. I know a distance to a galaxy, and I know how light has been stretched as it's traveled towards us from that galaxy. And then it's just speed equals distance over time. So with those two things, I can work out how the total expansion rate of the universe for this galaxy, the last 1.1 billion years.
Because that's how far away it is.
That's how far away it is, right. Yeah. It's 359 megaparsecs, if we're being astronomical about it. So that's about, what's that, a billion light years, more or less. And so that's a measurement of the expansion rate of the universe. Then I just run the movie backwards. So if I know how fast the universe is expanding, I can work out how long ago it was at a point,
The
Big Bang, and that's your age of the universe.
And so each one of these types of supernova, the type 1A, allows you to make that kind of a calculation. And each new one we discover, I guess we've got, several hundred already? I think this survey's already found about 42, but each new one allows you to do that again, and you feed that data into all the other measurements, and you can make it slightly more precise than it was before.
That's right. There's a shared pot of these things that you put them in. And then, as ever with science, each individual measurement adds to the accuracy of the overall measurement. So this will go into that pot. What that means is that we can say, it's a gimmick, but it's a good gimmick, that if this one's slightly older than the average, the universe is determined from the supernova, we've just made the age of the universe a bit older. We can work out by how much. I think, I'm guessing it might be 100 million years either side.
Which sounds like a lot, but we're talking about, it's around about 14 billion years old, so we're adding a whisker or taking off a whisker, depending on which way the estimate skews it.
Yeah, that's right. There's a bigger picture here, which I think is important, which is one of the reasons we do these projects is we want to get better at finding these things. In particular, I want to find the ones that are unusual in some way, because they have more to tell us about type 1A. One of the mysteries here is, although we know that they're standard candles, or close to it, we don't really understand the details of how these things work, so we need to understand them as well.
But in the meantime, it's time to contact some citizen scientists and tell them they've helped discover an exploding star.
Can I leave a voicemail?
Yeah, you could.
Hello, it's Pip.
Hi, Pip. This is Dr. Becky Smethurst. I'm here at Siding Spring Observatory for Stargazing Live. You are an official supernova discoverer.
Oh, wow, that's exciting.
So we're going to announce this discovery with an astronomer's telegram, and that will be sent around the world to all the observatories to tell them that this is a new discovery, and your name is going to be on it.
Wow, I'm very impressed with myself.
Thank you so much. We all are.
Okay, fantastic.
Great.
Thanks so much.
Thanks. Bye. I'm getting so excited that other people are excited about this.
Dr. Becky Smethurst from Nottingham University. She's in Australia for Stargazing Live. And in the end, it was not one, but two types of type A supernovae found and confirmed this week, with, says Jonathan Webb, probably more to come. Jonathan was reporting from the Siding Spring Mountain in New South Wales.